Thank you very much. And many are in the tents for the first time. See all the forest of hands in the tents. Well, we're glad to have you all. We had a grand meeting this afternoon. Many precious souls came through for the Lord, and God blessed us richly. Do we have a row of seats here up at the front? Are those for the elders? Well, that's good. I'm glad we have elders in this church. Amen. We're very glad that we have with us this evening the Reverend Ivan Foster, the Lord Bishop of Fermanagh, fellow jailbird of mine, Mr. Wiley and myself, and Mr. Foster. We were in prison once, and then Mr. Wiley was very wise. He stayed away the second time. But Brother Ivan, he came in just for a month and then waved me goodbye to let me finish the sentence. But we hadn't to finish it. Thank God there was an amnesty, and we got out. We're glad to have him with us, and he's going to lead us in prayer now.
We bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come once more into thy house this evening, and we have gathered together to praise thee. For this is a day, Lord, that must be set aside for praise.
Yes.
We thank thee, O God, that today thy name has been vindicated. We praise thee, Lord, that once again our province has heard that there is a God on the throne.
Amen.
And that he will remember his own. We thank you, Lord, for vindicating the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for this church. Lord, we believe today that it belongs not only to Ravenhill, but it belongs, O God, to all of those who have stood for truth in Ulster.
Amen.
And we praise thee that we can join with the members of this congregation, and we can worship God here,
yeah,
and we can praise him from full hearts. We thank you, Lord, for down through the years, how thou hast stood by the people and the pastor of this congregation. We thank you, Lord, that we see in the growth of the congregation the mighty power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have seen the fulfilling of that text, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank you today, Lord, for victory over the gates of hell.
Amen.
We rejoice today that apostasy has felt this blow. And our God, we thank thee, we haven't joined together with this congregation in opening a mere church, a mere stone and mortar and brick building. We have joined together to open a place for the glory and the honor and the preaching of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee for thy presence with us in the afternoon. Oh God, we rejoice in the full preaching of your word. And we thank thee for the old doctrines of grace that we heard expounded from the word of God. And we praise thee for the souls that were saved. Bless God, the Lord is in this house. Thank God, he has shown his approval in the building of this place. And we thank thee, Lord, that many here today are here in this evening service, born again of the Holy Ghost, gathered around. Perhaps, Lord, this afternoon, when they came and set their eyes upon the church for the first time, they did not know Christ as their Savior, but bless God, they'll remember the opening of the church. They'll remember it wasn't only the birthday of a church, it was the birthday of them in Christ. Lord, bless the preaching tonight. Oh God, come down here, make it home. Lord, I praise thee personally for the days that I enjoyed down the road, and what to many of us is home. And Lord, it's a precious place to us because of God's grace upon our souls down there. And Lord, we'll never change our opinion, but we want you, Lord, to make this a special place too. Lord, it's only a building, but we pray that thou wilt come and make it a special building by thy presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill this place with thy power, with thy blessing.
And may thy name be glorified here. Bless the preachers tonight. Bless thy word, O God, to every heart. Bless the unsaved as they're gathered in. Bless the people of God from various parts of Ulster. May they go away determined to stand for God, determined to see the blessing of God in their district as they have seen and heard it today here in Belfast. Hear us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The Reverend James Baggs, my associate, he also happens to be married to my sister, so when I have trouble with him, I just see my sister and she looks after him. Hey, he's very near and dear to us all here in Ravenhill. We appreciate his pastoral care of the sick and the succoring of those who are in trouble. He's my right hand. And we appreciate all that he's doing. He's also pastor of a growing church in Ballymena. We wanted to take him away from Ballymena, but they sharpened their knives down there, and we're going to absolutely cut my head off if I suggested it. But he does divide his time, and he's going to give us a little more of his time now that we've got settled in to help us with the pastoral oversight of this increasing flock. And Brother James, we're glad to have you. You're going to read the word to us. Thank you.
Our scripture reading tonight is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. 1 Kings, chapter 22, and reading from verse 24. But Zedekiah, the son of Shenanah, went near and spoke Micaiah on the cheek, and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah, and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, Surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, Turn thine hand, and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, and every man to his own country. So the king died, and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor, according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab, and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And God will bless this reading of his own precious and infallible and inerrant word to all our hearts.
At this stage of the meeting, I'd like to make some announcements. We did recognize our guests this afternoon, and for those that are with us in the meeting for the first time inside the church, we do indeed welcome you tonight. We haven't time to recall the roll, as it were, but you know that you are all more than welcomed. We had great service this evening with the blessing of God. Brother Ivan Foster had to leave us because he has a commitment tonight down in the country. He said, the Lord is here just like in the old church. And so he is. And we feel his presence, and we feel at home in the presence of the Lord. Now, I did say tonight that I would say some things about the church. The Reverend Brian Green, who's the General Secretary of the British Council of Protestant Christian Churches and our very good friend, he said you should refer to the notice board. If you've read the notice board, you'll read on it that the authorized version of the scriptures is used in this church. And he tells me he never saw that in a notice board before. So I'm glad the Free Presbyterians can help the Free Grace Baptists to improve their notice boards. I'm very glad about that. The next time I go back to Zohar, he'll have that in larger letters on his notice board, I'm sure. Well, this is the word that we use because we believe in the received text, and we believe in a version that God honored and brought about through the glorious Reformation. For the authorized version of the scriptures is the direct legacy from the Protestant reformers. And we're glad to be in that great succession. Of course, we have a flagstaff beside the notice board. It'll never be flying the tricolor as long as I'm here and you're here. You can be sure of that. That's one thing. And then when you come to the main doors of the building, you will find that they are in bronze and that they have in the center the evangelical theses of Martin Luther, who nailed his theses against papal indulgences to the church door at Wittenberg. And that was the signal of the spark of the greatest revival since the day of Pentecost. And then on either side, flanking those evangelical theses, we have the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament. And if you read them carefully, you will discover they run through all the books of the Bible from Genesis right through to Revelation. Some grand text from the Word of God. Then, of course, when you come into the main porch, where all those good people are standing tonight, and they're jealous of you people that are sitting, they're breaking the 10th commandment and coveting your seats. I can see by their faces. You will find the foundation stones there forming the main pillars of the middle door. And then there are two new stones cut out in black slate, and they simply tell how this church was built and by whom it was opened today. And then, of course, I should have said on the outside, we have a stone. Looking in, it will be on your extreme left, naming the architect. And then on the extreme right, another stone naming the builder. And then that great text flanking the middle door, except the Lord build the house. And then there's a short history of the building of this church on the stone at the other side of the middle door. When the site was bought, when we cut the sod, when we laid the foundation stones, and when we signed the contract, and when we had the first meeting in the unfinished church. What a great meeting that was, when a young man was gloriously saved, came all the way from Scotland and got saved here. I have a wonderful letter from him about that great day when the Lord saved him. And then we have the story of the opening today. When you come in through the middle door, you will find we have Wycliffe, the great morning star of the Reformation. Wycliffe had such a testimony that long after he was dead, he was still annoying the Pope. I hope I'll be doing the same after I'm dead. And the Pope ordered that his bones be dug up and they be burned and that the ashes be cast into the sea. And someone has said they cast his ashes into the River Swift. The River Swift carried them into the Bristol Channel. What's the name of that place? You're a Welshman. You ought to know. And they were carried to the four seas of the world. And so the teachings of Wycliffe have gone throughout the world. On the other side, there is that great reformer, John Knox. And many a knock he gave the devil and the Pope when he was living. And then we have, of course, that eminent Presbyterian on the other side of Wycliffe. To put Knox and Calvin together, you certainly would have strong men. So we parted them, with Wycliffe in between. If they came alive, these men might fight, so we kept them apart. And we have Calvin there, the great Genevan reformer, and on the other side, the monk that shook the world, Martin Luther himself. You will notice that there are spotlights on these four great reformers. Then round this side, we have the Scottish Covenanters, and the story of them all round these, not these people that are looking in at you, they're not Scottish Covenanters, you start with the Lion of the Covenant, the man that gave the name to the Reformed Presbyterian Church, often called the Camerons, and he is there, the Lion of the Covenant. You have Melville, Cargill, Rennick, Margaret Wilson, and Bailey, and Stuart, and many more. And then, of course, you have the Stephen of the Scottish Reformation, Patrick Hamilton, young man who gave his life at the stake. I've stood in the spot where they burned him in Aberdeen. And then George Wisher. And, of course, the good regent, the Earl of Murray, John Stuart. And then on this side, we have the great reformers of the English Reformation. And the English Reformation, of course, was wonderful in that Wycliffe influenced Jerome of Prague and John Huss. By the way, Dr. Jones has made a great study of John Huss and produced a prologue to the Reformation on the life of Huss. And it was Dr. Jones and his wife presented that bus to us of John Huss. Then round this other way as we go round, we have the great English bishops, Cranmer, Latimer, and Ridley, and Farrar, and Hooper, the five bishops that Rome burned. And then as we come on down here, we have young John Hunter, the boy marker of Brentwood, and we have John Bunyan, who was 12 years in prison. He's the only Baptist we have up on the wall, by the way. And we don't mean to hang Baptists by the head either, Brian, so you're all right, you're safe. And then we have Dennis Parry. Dennis Parry was a college colleague of mine. He sat beside me in the Barry School of Evangelism, now the South Wales Bible College, for a year. He was a dear man of God. He went to the mission field and he was murdered in the Congo by the rebels in the uprising there, his wife and two of his children. Two of his children are at the moment in England. By the way, the unevangelized Fields Mission, under whom Brother Dennis Parry worked, objected to us putting up this bus. But I wrote and told them we didn't care whether they objected or not. We were putting it up. There's nothing illegal about doing that. And if they didn't want the bust of one of their men up here, we want them. And we honor Dennis Parry. He was a personal friend of mine. And we're going to try and do something for the two children that he left as a token of our appreciation for their father's fortitude and grace. Then, of course, when you come in through this door here, you're into the porch, this door here, and this leads into, on the right-hand side, the committee room of the church, where we lock in the church committee men and keep them in peace while we get on with the work. We had them locked in all evening counting this offering. They were complaining they didn't even get a tea break. Well, I hope they'll not get anything until breakfast time after your offering tonight. You go through this door, you come into the session room, which is a large and commodious room. And when you're getting married, you'll sign your death warrant in there. And then off that, there's the minister's room. A very beautiful room it is. And then in through the house, when we have it completed, there will be a kitchen and lecture hall. And, of course, rooms upstairs with my study and the church office upstairs in the house. You go up these stairs, you come to the minor hall, which is two lovely vestries off it, and then the minor hall, which we're going to use for the boys and girls, the young children who come on a Sunday morning. It'll be the ballroom in this church. They'll be able to shout their lungs out, nobody will hear them, and I'll try and shout them down over this microphone. So if you have a baby and you want to come to church, come tomorrow, go up into that room. You'll hear the service and your child can shout as loud as it likes. I guarantee Dr. Jones will shout it down over that amplifier. And then on upstairs we have a heritage room. It's not furnished yet, but we have a lot of things that have been given to us. We have had this sword of William Johnson of Ballykilbag given to us and by our brother Ray, and it will be hanging in that room, and some other precious things that have been given to us which tell the history of this province and tell something of the history of our church. On the other side, there is a boardroom and a caretaker's room and also a storeroom. And that completes our building. Of course, there's cloakrooms and all at the back and at the front of the building. Now, I trust, too, that you will remember that this building has not been put up that we might admire its workmanship, although we appreciate that. This building has been put up as a practical place for the preaching of the gospel. And today, in this house, souls have been saved. It has been registered in the book of life that that man and that woman was born here. And I trust, and I'm saying this in faith, that there'll not be a service that souls will not be saved at. That God will visit his people. Underneath here, this pulpit of ours, we have a very interesting cushion, a pulpit cushion. This cushion was the first cushion laid on the pulpit of May Street Presbyterian Church by Dr. Henry Cook. And it came into our possession through an Irish Presbyterian who had it in her possession for many long years. It was a family heirloom, and we're very grateful for her to present it to the church. Spurgeon used the Bible that lay on this cushion when he preached here in the city. So did D.L. Moody. So did John McNeil and some of the other great preachers. And we appreciate it. And as far as we are concerned, we're not going to hammer the inside out of it, for it's very frail, but we're going to let it stand up here in memorial to those that went before and preached the Word of God with great power in this city. I've been asked to mention that those who have a long way to travel home can have a second refreshment if they call at our old church, which is now our church hall, after this service. So those from the country will have opportunity to call in and have some refreshments before they go home this evening. I want to make a special announcement. Will all the men of the church remain behind, please, to help us? We went down to Dunmurry, and we took every seat out of the Dunmurry church. We went to Mount Merion, and we took every seat out of the Mount Merion church. If I could have got to Oma Curate, I would have taken your seats as well. And that's my curate down there, by the way. And they nearly set him on fire and me on fire when they burned the tent down. We took all the seats out of Sandown Road church. We took all the seats out of Buckram Street Mission Hall. And these people turn up tomorrow and they'll have no seats. So we've got to get them back this evening. Some of our members are bringing lorries to help us, and I want you men to remain with us and help us, please. Now, we've got to get these people some seating because they'll bless us tomorrow if we don't have them seated. So do help us in this, please. And then there's something else I want to say now. Tomorrow, these opening services continue. 11:30 in the morning, 10:30, we're having a prayer meeting in the minor hall. Let's jam out that minor hall for prayer. Then in here at 11:30, Dr. Jones will be preaching. 3:30, we have a special orange service here under the auspices of the Banner of the Cross, LOL 1310, for the witness of Jesus and the Word of God. All Orange men are invited to attend the 21st anniversary church service in the Martyrs Memorial Church, Raven Hill Road. Brethren are requested to meet at the church at 2:30. Members of the Women's Orange Association invited also. Public will be admitted after brethren have been seated. Regalia to be worn. The soloist is Miss Hazley, and our organist, Miss Reed, will be presiding at the organ, and I hope to be the preacher. And our good friend and brother Joe Wells, who is a past master of the lodge, will be presiding at the service. And the general public will be welcome after the orange men are seated. The offerings are for the McCrae Memorial Trust Fund and the Martyrs Memorial Church. God save the Queen. No surrender. So that is tomorrow afternoon. The television people will be with us tomorrow afternoon and will relay it to both the tents. So if you come and can't get into the church, you can see and hear in both the tents. Our evening service will also be relayed at 7 o'clock to both the tents. So if you come and can't get into the church, there's plenty of accommodation in the tents, and you can both see and hear both the services. Now, we're not worried too much about tomorrow's services in regard to attendance, but Dr. Jones will be preaching here for a fortnight. And Monday night is the evangelist headache and heartache. It used to be that people complained that they couldn't come on Monday because their wives always washed on Monday. And they used to manicure their nails on a washboard. But you don't do that anymore. You just sit down, press a button, fold your hands, and all the clothes are washed, dried, and ironed, and back into the cupboard before you know. Right. So you have absolutely no excuse. So tomorrow, on Monday, we want to see a full church, and every night in the will of God. So will you make an effort? Tell others about it. Pray much. God is working already. May he work mightily. Oh, for showers of blessing upon a dry and thirsty land. How much we need the blessing of God. Now we come to the offering. And we had an amazing offering this afternoon. We had in hard cash this afternoon £404,942.14. £404,942.14. What are you all doing? I want to say something. We want to reach £20,000 in these four meetings. This afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning, and tomorrow afternoon we'll get something as well, and then tomorrow night. I want to say something. A good friend and brother of ours gave us 400 crowns, Churchill crowns. Here they are. And he said, everybody that gives £5 to the building fund can have one of these crowns. We have got over 200 of these away already, as far as I know. And some people took them and put them back into the offering. So we've got over 200 away. We've got a lot of them back again. Now, I wonder how many people here tonight would like a souvenir of this meeting. Well, I'll give you a crown if you give me £5. Let's see the hands of all the people who want one of these. That's right. Put them up. Let's see how many we could get. Put up your hands. One. Anybody else? Two. Three. Four. Yes. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. What about you Ballymena people here? Nine. 10. 11. Some more. 12. Anyone else? 13, 14, 15, 16. All right. Yes. 17. Boy, John, you're in blessing tonight. Amen. Amen. Right. Someone else? 19. Yes, away up there in the gallery. 20. Boy, you're getting contaminated with that man beside you. Any more? I trust that our brother Charlie Robinson has this cooling system off, because it's getting very warm in this pulpit. It's going to be warmer in a minute or two, and I trust we'll get this cooling system really going. I hope it's not hot air he's putting into the building. I'd just like to mention that there is a bookstall outside the church here on my left-hand side. There's many pieces of literature, including our book on the exposition of the Romans and the 59 Revival. If you purchase one of these books, I'll be happy to autograph it for you as a memento of this happy occasion. I'd like to mention that the services are tape recorded. All our services are. If you would like to have a catalog of all the tapes that are available, you can have them from our brother, Mr. Harry Compton. If you would like to have a tape of all these meetings of the opening, you can put in your order now for them, and it will be sent out to you directly. The session and committee last night entertained the art attack, the building contractors and the subcontractors, and we had a very happy night last night together. It's also recorded, and all these are available through Mr. Compton, who looks after our tape ministry. Perhaps we could stand to our feet for a moment or two, please. And while we're standing, I'd just like to say how thrilled we are to have Dr. Bob Jones, the president of Bob Jones University, as our special guest at these opening services and for this great evangelistic campaign. Dr. Jones is a very near and personal friend to my wife and myself. He has been a faithful friend to me, and through his help, I was able to go to the United States, and from gifts that came from the churches that he arranged for me to preach in, almost £12,000 were given in those tours that I made of the United States under our brother's sponsorship. And we appreciate that. But we appreciate our brother because he's a great man of God and a great preacher of the old evangel. And in these evil days, when apostasy is rampart across the world, we thank God for the great university which he leads, with a student body of 4,000 and a wonderful faculty of dedicated born-again men and women who are training warriors for the 20th century Reformation. And we bid our brother welcome in the name of the Lord. Let's welcome him again.
Well, there's nothing like preaching twice in a day and facing an entirely different congregation the second time. I'm so grateful for this nice Bible that the church, the session, and the pastor gave me today. Beautifully hand-inscribed with gold and color. I appreciate it so much. I think Dr. Paisley was a little bit ashamed of my Bible. That's a Bible. That's not a Bible. I think he thought I ought to have one on this big pulpit to match the size of the pulpit. The trouble is, it's so small I lose my notes. It's a wonderful, my notes are so small that they get lost in the big Bible. But I'm so happy to have this opportunity of being with you in these opening days. How I admire this beautiful building. It's a wonderful thing for men to pass by and see a nice, attractive church. Cheerful inside. I like God's house to be cheerful.